Now the appetizers are over, we get to the meat and potatoes, which is my favorite. I know both these gentlemen. Please help me welcome for the first speaker, Danny.
My name is Danny, I'm an addict.
I brought this dog when I spoke the first time a long time ago.
And I forgot that I had him in my pocket and I forgot to pull him out for people to see. But I may explain him later if we have time. When I was asked to speak, the first thing I said was, what excuse can I come up with to say no? And then I realized that saying that I was sick wouldn't work because that's part of the reason I'm here. So I said yes. I guess part of my experience with believing starts with my coming to believe when I got here. And when I first came, I remember going to a couple of meetings, maybe even Jerry was there. People said hi to me and welcomed me and were very friendly. And they said, keep coming back. And I'm like, well, you want something from me. I mean, you must want something from me. Like, you're being nice to me for no reason. And I couldn't understand that. So I did come back to those meetings, and people welcomed me back. And they said, your name's Danny. We've seen you here before. Welcome back. It's nice to see you again. Keep coming back. And that really stuck with me. Like, I really felt welcomed. And like I said before, I was never on the football team or a member of the chess club in school. And for the first time in my life, I felt like I belonged to something bigger than myself. And that was a real powerful thing for me. I never really believed in anybody, even myself, for a long time. So that was part of my process of believing. And what happened was I had a few spiritual experiences, including that dog, in early recovery. And by the way, he doesn't bite. He doesn't shed, so if you've got allergies, don't worry. But we kind of found each other some time ago. And I had these spiritual experiences, and I guess I was in treatment, and I had 29 days, and I was reading some literature, and I was going to wake up with 30 days. I was going to go to bed and wake up with 30 days clean. And I started reading some literature, and I looked at the clock, and it was quarter after 12 or something, and I had 30 days. And I just broke down in tears and had a real spiritual experience, one of several in early recovery, and I cried for a while and realized that something greater than myself was at work. And I didn't know what that was, but I realized at that time that I had to work the steps. You know, I'd heard in NA in that first month, every meeting I went to had the reading of 12 steps, and it says if you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, then you are ready. And I was like, fuck, I'm ready. Like, I've got to do this. And I heard it was very well said last night and very simply put by the speaker last night. It's like this is a 12-step fellowship, and if you're not going to work the 12 steps, it's like you know, joining a gym but just showing up and leaning against the wall and watching everybody else work out. Like, it that made perfect sense to me. And that's what I realized, that I was part of a 12-step fellowship, and I'd be cheating myself if I didn't work the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. So step two is what led me to do that. And having had these spiritual experiences, I believe there was something out there. For the first time in my life, I never believed that. I never believed in myself, never believed in anybody else, and certainly didn't believe in God of my understanding. For lack of a better word, I call him God today. And he not only saved my life, he gave me a life. And because of that, I feel a real therapeutic value in one addict helping another. And it's been something that's really been a wonderful experience for me to have been given what was so freely given to the people that came before me, and I'm so happy and grateful to be able to give that to the people who come after me. So the coming to believe was a very powerful thing for me, and in having some recovery and being able to work the 12 steps and apply it to my life, and that's where I really believe is an opportunity for us to recover. I think that going to meetings may save our life, but I think that the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous will give us a life. And in my case, it's certainly a life worth living. And that is huge for me, because I never would have. I remember trying to get some, coming up with excuses when I was in school and public speaking and being sick and not wanting to go up there and not showing up on the last day or skipping school. And I had a lot of fear around that. And I remember that, step one is about hope, and step two is gives us faith. And that is the spiritual opposite of fear, which accompanies courage. And for me, I've got a lot more courage today than I ever had in my life. And I don't know who that person was before I got here, but he was a shell of the person I am today. And that is something that I'm forever grateful for. And so I feel that it's important to give that back. I had a few people approach me when I had maybe a year and a bit clean. I had a few people, two people in particular. I can still picture them. One doesn't come anymore. They asked me to sponsor them, and I was reluctant to do so, but I asked my sponsor, and he said, "You're ready if, you're working the steps." I'd finished my fifth step at that time and was moving forward. And they asked me to sponsor them, two people, I think, in the same week. And I said yes to both of them, and one of them doesn't come anymore. And I don't think he's doing very well. No, he's not doing very well. And the other is in and out of here. And in the beginning, I took that quite personally. But I realized that I can't save everybody. I can't help everybody. They say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But in my case, I think I'm just going to just drink from the water, and hopefully the other horses will come someday. I think that's up to them. I can't twist anybody's arm to be here. So since then, I've probably taken on a couple of dozen sponsees throughout the years. And, I think of a lot of them often that aren't here anymore. And I haven't had anybody that I sponsor pass away, but I believe that could happen. It may have happened to the ones that I don't see anymore. I would say of 20, say if there's 25 people, I would say half a dozen I don't see at all, and they don't call me. There's maybe 5 or 10 that are in and out, constantly in and out. And when they come back, I believe in them. I believe that they have a chance. If they show up here, if you show up here, and you want what we have to offer, and the third tradition says the only requirement is a desire. And that is something that I believe in everybody. I believe in the good in everybody. I mean, I've seen a lot of bad in people. I think there's good in everybody. And that's really, it's your choice if you want to harness that and tap into that. I saw it for myself, and I never really believed that it could be possible to be a better me. So I believe in that for other people. And I really think it's a process. And the most important thing is getting here. And having that honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness to do something about that and staying here. Step one talks about that, stopping using and just staying stopped. And step two is that real faith and belief in a higher power that I think will give us, and certainly in my case, has given me the courage to move forward in my life. I want to take as many people as I can with me, within reason. I can't be there for everybody, but I've got a half a dozen people that are actively working the steps with me on a regular basis. I talk to them weekly, and they're working a program of recovery in their life and applying it to their life. And that's what I would love to offer anybody. Anybody who approaches me in a meeting, a newcomer, if you're new or if you're just coming back, welcome. If you don't believe in this program, just believe in it because I believe in it until you believe for yourself. As it works. And anybody who comes in here and asks for help, I try and reach out to newcomers. I go to a, You know, it's kind of a revolving door, we call it here in Ottawa. It's the NA Noon meeting, and a lot of people come and go from there often. And you know, I'm happy to see people when they come back, if they've been out for some time. And I'm not illusioned by, you know, people that leave this fellowship for years at a time. And they don't come back with these wonderful stories about, you know, having bought tropical islands and their own planes, and we should all fly there and have this wonderful time over there. And that doesn't happen. And people that go out from here don't do very well. And I know for me, I need to stay. So part of that is being able to give it away. And I believe it's a real process that, you know, like it took me 3.5 years to do the steps. And it's a real process that, you know, you've got to participate in. It's like, you know, the going to the gym part. And I encourage people to get started on the steps. You know, I was 2 months clean. I got started on the steps. And I encourage people to get started right away. I mean, you've got to stay stopped first before any recovery can happen, as far as I'm concerned. Step one opens the door. Get your foot in there, and hopefully you stay. And then start working, you know, program and recover from what you need to recover from. You know, we all have wounds or damage from before, and the drugs are a symptom of something else. And certainly a lot of my recovery has been, you know, a lot of my character defects stemmed around fear and, you know, wondering what my life would be like. And I get that. And a lot of people that come to me that ask for help and start working the steps, they seem really concerned about what's going to happen. And something I heard a long time ago is the fear is not of who we are, but who we may become. And that was very powerful for me. Like, I never believed that life could be as good as it is today. And again, I believe in other people when they come here, and it's very therapeutic. You know, each time I step work with a sponsee, I see it in myself, and I see the ability to apply it to my life. And that's what's really important is not just working the program, but applying that program. And that was my truth, you know, for a lot of my early recovery and working the steps, is that step was always apparent in my life, and I had an opportunity to work it and really believe in this program. So it's really been something wonderful that I wish for everybody. The dog, I was probably in my second month. You remember the dog, eh, Terry?
I remember, but I don't remember the story.
I haven't told the story in a while. The dog sits in my office on a stack of yo-yos in front of a bunch of Hot Wheels cars trucks, and on the bed of each truck is a medallion. He oversees the medallions. I just realized that's what he does. I didn't realize that was the position I put him in, but yes, that's what he does. And I found him. I went to the mall, I think, and I was in my second month, and I walked by him on the street, and I just looked at the corner of my eye, and I saw there was something there against the curb on the side of the road. And I didn't pay much attention to it. I went to the mall, and I came back out, and I saw him again. And I, it's a dog. And you know, there was traffic. There was cars going back and forth, and there's no collar on that dog. And so I picked him up, and I put him in my pocket. I got him an NA key tag for a collar, and I carried him around for a long time. I took him to meetings when I chair meetings and stuff. And like I said, when I first was asked to speak, when I was about 11 months clean, I brought him with me, but I was too nervous, and I didn't bring him out of my pocket. So I carried him around for a long time, and I was never religious or anything, and you know, so it was a real spiritual experience for me, like I said before. And you know, for lack of a better word, I call my higher power God today. And I was about 6 months clean, and someone said to me, they said, you know, a dog spelled backwards is God. And I was like, you know, things changed in my life, and I think I wish that for everyone. And I don't know, you know, my sponsor said to me a long time ago, he said, find something that lights a fire under your fucking ass when you get here. Find something that you believe in, something that moves you, something that changes you. That's what we need to do when we get here. I know that's been my truth, and I try and offer that to everybody. I believe in people. I looked in the back of the basic text this morning to see if there's any sections on believe, and it goes right from A to C. There's nothing under B. That was kind of odd, actually. But you know, I believe in the process, and something that was my experience was a lot of analogies that I had heard, and you know, somebody said to me a long time ago that you know, I used for 30 years, and if I went a mile into the bush for every year that I used, you know, 30 years later I decided to get clean, I was 30 fucking miles in the bush, and there was no, you know, helicopter sitting on a pad waiting to fly me out if I decided to get clean. I had to walk. And it might not take me 30 years, but I got to walk, and I got to do the work. And that's why I certainly tell people to be patient and to be able to, you know, appreciate that process and the time involved there and the effort that it takes. And it's practice, not perfection. It doesn't happen overnight. I tell people all the time, you know, it's okay, it's practice. Just practice. We're not perfect by any means. I never could see past the toes of my work boots. You know, for years, the world around me was very small. And today I see a much bigger picture, and I see good people in the world every day. And we are those people, and we're special people. You know, we're people that have more than... More than most, we have an opportunity to live better. There's a lot of people in the world today that don't have the opportunities we have. You know, having a 12-step fellowship has given us an opportunity to be better people, and I'm so grateful for that. I think that we all deserve that. So I think I'll end with that. Thank you.
Thanks, Danny. And the second speaker is another gentleman I know from right here in town, Jerry.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jerry, and I'm an addict. And, you know, when I was asked to speak about sponsorship the other day, you know, I wasn't sure exactly how to react other than, you know, sponsorship has saved my life. You know, when I came into this program, I was a liar and I was a cheater and I was a thief. And, but I didn't think I was all those things when I first came in. I thought I was pretty normal. But, you know, the more I worked this program, the more honest I was about who I, you know, who I was and who I am. And you know, and I learned that, you know, I would do anything to get what I wanted. So I would lie, I would cheat, and I would steal, right? And sometimes it was things, and sometimes it was people, you know? And sometimes it was just whatever it was that was in my way, whatever I wanted, I did, right? And... So, you know, I came to this program broken, but thinking that I was all in one piece. You know, for those of you who knew me when I first came in, you know, it's, I really looked all together. And it's through doing step work that I discovered who I truly am and who I truly was at the time. And I was only able to do that through working with a sponsor. And so, you know, I want to share with you my experience about having a sponsor and about being a sponsor. The, you know, when I first came, my first meeting, I was, you know, I was at the in the meeting format. I was told, well, everyone was told, but you know, they were speaking to me, right? You know, the chairperson was reading the format and they said, you know, that if this is your first meeting, come on down. because, you know, we're going to assign you a temporary sponsor. And, you know, I was used to following rules. And, but, you know, only the rules I really wanted to follow. But this one, for some reason, I decided this is what I'm going to do. Because I decided that I was going to stay for the whole meeting. Because it took me a long time to get to my first meeting. And so, you know, I show up and, you know, I'm assigned a temporary sponsor. And, you know, our HP works in mysterious ways because, you know, there's no secret about, you know, what I am is, you know, I'm gay. And you see it and you hear it and, you know, and I don't hide it. And the chairperson, you know, assigned me a gay man. You know, one of the few that was in the fellowship back then. And you know what was great is that, you know, I was able to develop a relationship with someone, and, you know, we had something in common, you know, it was not sexual. And that was pretty rare for me, you know, and because if you're gay, I'm gay, well, you know, we're going to end up somewhere pretty intimate pretty fast. And, but, it, you know, it worked out, and, you know, I was able to ask him all sorts of different questions. And you know, eventually I found, you know, another sponsor. And because, you know, that was a temporary situation and I was told that I needed to find someone on a permanent basis. And I found someone, and you know, and we didn't work the steps in my first year. But what it helped me do, though, is, you know, that sponsorship relationship helped me believe in me. Because this guy truly believed in me and that I was able to succeed and that I was able to stay clean. So, you know, that worked out really well. But then, you know, a bunch of things happened. And you know, and we parted ways. And that was, again, my, you know, in hindsight, that was my HP working in my life. You know, I believe that my HP presents me with the right people at the right time. And then when it's time to part ways, something happens that allows that to happen in, you know, in just in a natural fashion. And so, you know, I was having some, while I was only a year clean, you know, I was having some doubts about this relationship that, you know, that we had. And I didn't know how to leave that relationship. But again, you know, my HP just intervened and he left town and I stayed in town and, you know, and that was that. And I decided that, you know, I thought, okay, I need to find another sponsor because, you know that I can't stay clean and I can't work a program without a sponsor. So I had determined at the time that, you know, I needed a closer connection with a higher power. I needed to develop that concept. And so there was this, you know, one guy in the program and, you know, very well respected. And I liked him a lot. And he had an extremely close connection with God, you know, a religious God. And I thought, you know, that's what I want. You know, I grew up Catholic. And I thought, you know, this is what I want to work towards, right? Even though I really didn't, you know, I wasn't practicing Catholic and I didn't really believe in religion, I thought this is a way, you know, to get there. And you know what? It didn't work out. And it's because I didn't, it just wasn't really, it's what I thought I needed, but, you know, it's what I wanted, but it's not what I needed. But, you know, NA has taught me that if it's not working, you know, I can leave that relationship and move on to a different one. And so, you know, I left that sponsorship relationship. And, you know, and we still remained friends. And that was really nice. You know, I didn't have to avoid him. I didn't have to look the other way. I didn't have to cross the street when I saw him. You know, I could just go up to him and say, "Hi, how are you?" And that's the great thing about sponsorship, you know, it's, I know that when my sponsees have made a decision that they need to move on and find somebody else, or, you know, if they relapse and they come back, and I really hope that they do, and they choose a different sponsor, that's okay, because that's what they think they need. And if that's what they need to stay clean, you know, I'm really happy for them. And so I needed to find another sponsor. And I did. And, you know, and I've had the same sponsor now for about 21 years. And, you know, I'm really grateful for that. I don't know how we've managed to stay together for that long, but it is the longest relationship that I've ever had with anyone. And you know what I've learned is that, you know, and I can have an intimate, non-sexual relationship with someone, because that's different for me, you know. But NA taught me that, and that I can, you know, I can go to this person and I can be honest. And I can reveal everything and anything, and not be afraid of judgment. And I've learned a few things in my recovery, and you know, all of it is related to the discussions that my sponsor and I have had over the years. And you know, and I can't say that, you know, that we, you know, that I was in contact with my sponsor all the time throughout all of my recovery, because there was a while there that I went to meetings, I didn't do step work, you know, I did recovery stuff, I did service, but I really wasn't in contact with my sponsor. But my sponsor, you know, and you know, years later, you know, told me that, you know, I didn't know what to do, but I thought, you know, there's no reason for me to end the relationship, because if I, you know, if Jerry needs me, he'll come. You know, he'll ask. And that's exactly what happened. Because at 14 years clean, you know, I went through a really messy divorce. You know, who do I call? My sponsor. So, you know, we developed, you know, it's amazing what happens is that, you know, we may not speak for a while, but, you know, like, but then a month or two later, I can call and say, you know, this is what's going on in my life. And I need some clarity and I need some guidance. And I need to know how to apply the program, you know, to my life. So one of the, you know, the great things is that we have very different experiences. But there's one thing that we have in common, and those are the spiritual principles of the program. And so while my sponsor may not have, you know, experience with the issue that I'm dealing with, what my sponsor has is she knows how to apply the spiritual principles. And so we have a conversation about what do I need to put into my life today? And how is that going to essentially bring me closer to the appropriate solution? Because, you know, I'm a liar, I'm a cheat, and a thief. And if I don't apply the spiritual principles of this program, that's exactly where I go back. And so I need to be vigilant, and that's what my sponsor helps me do. And so today, there's no major decision that I do without consulting my sponsor. And we may not agree, but we still respect each other at the end of the conversation. We certainly don't yell at each other. We don't scream at each other. We don't call each other's names. You know, we just respect each other, and we respect our different perspectives. And, you know, and my sponsor has taught me that, you know, that I need to build, you know, I need to build a group of people with whom I can have some honest relationships. So my sponsor was the first opportunity for me to have, you know, a healthy, balanced, non-sexual relationship. And I learned how to apply those skills, because for me that's a skill, to other relationships with people in the program and outside of the program. And so I believe that today I am who I am because of the relationship that I built with my sponsor, and the honesty, and the openness, and the willingness. All thanks to the work that, you know, we both did together. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to sponsor a lot of people. You know, when I first got clean, I sponsored a bunch of people, and you know, I pity those first few sponsees. You know, those of you who know me know that, you know, control is one of, you know, one of my ways of living. You know, I've worked hard at letting that go. I worked with some sponsees at the beginning, but I really didn't understand the program. But all I knew is they wanted whatever I had, and we know that we can't work this program alone. And it worked, you know, and it helped me stay clean. And then for a while, like, you know, maybe like 10 years, I had no sponsees. And you know, it's funny, I didn't really notice it at first, but eventually I did notice that, why is no one asking me to sponsor them? And I just came to the conclusion that obviously it's just not meant to be right now. That something's going on. I don't know what it is. And I don't know where this journey's going. But, you know, all I need to do is just stay clean and something will unblock, right? And then something unblocked because all of a sudden I found myself with a whole bunch of different sponsees. And, you know, each one has taught me something about myself. They all ask the right questions at the right time, because those are the things that I need to look at about me and my recovery and my program. And sponsoring has also allowed me to get a much better understanding of how this program works, you know, and giving something away without any conditions or any expectations is something that I had to learn. And, you know, I really hope that, you know, all of my sponsees stay clean. And, you know, that today, you know, I can't say that many are. And it's not a reflection of me. It's just a reflection of what goes on in life, right? And though, what I enjoy about doing step work with sponsees is that they get stuck on a question that I need to think about, and how I, you know, what's going on with me. And I remember, you know, I have a problem with honesty, like deep, deep honesty. So there's one question in step one in our step guide, in the section denial, which is, have I ever given plausible but untrue reasons for my behavior? Like, and I don't know if it's behavior or action or whatever, but that the last word is not important. What's important is that I need to be really, really honest about what's going on in my life and what I'm doing and why am I doing it. And so, you know, this sponsee asked me this question that was probably around like 7 years ago. And, you know, to this day, I think of that question frequently. Because when I'm tormented, I go back to that question. And so I'm really grateful for that sponsee, you know, for having asked me, what does this question mean, you know? And, you know, I had to think about it. I had to go back to my previous step work and then think about it some more. And then, you know, share openly and honestly about what, you know, what it means to me, right? And then there are some other questions, you know, that I'm asked by sponsees, and, you know, I don't know what the answer is. And so there's two things that, you know, that I do is one, you know, bring, just like my sponsor taught me, is bring it back to the spiritual principles of the program, and how does this apply? What do we need to apply, right? And then the other is that, you know what, I've heard some people share about that. And so let me ask them if I can give them, you know, their name. And so, you know, I'm a referral service. And it's funny that, you know, what we hear or what I hear in meetings, I think I'm, you know, like I'm not really paying attention sometimes, and I hear all sorts of information. And, you know, I've gone to a lot of meetings and you know, I don't remember a whole deal, right? But then all of a sudden, I will remember this one little snippet of information that someone said at a meeting, like out of nowhere. And you know, many of you know, like I have a lousy memory, but something will pop up out of the blue. And so I'm able to help sponsees by telling them, go and speak to somebody else. Because if I'm honest, you know, I don't have that experience. And, you know, my codependency would like me to have all the answers to all of your problems. But this program has taught me that I need to be honest, and that I really need to look at the motive. And that if I don't know the answer, all I need to do is say, I don't know. And you know what? You will not look at me lesser than, right? I'll still be the same person, and maybe I'll be a little bit more respected because I'm being honest with what's going on. And so, you know, today, you know, for me, sponsorship is about, you know, building, you know, a relationship with someone, and learning to be, you know, open-minded, learning to be willing, and learning not to judge, but just to accept what it is. You know, I've had sponsees say all sorts of things about their past. And, you know, I may have not have done that, but I did this. And you know what? It all equals in the end. You know, it's just about different experiences and different desperation at different moments in our lives. And so I've learned that, you know, I don't need to judge. I just need to accept. Though I still, you know, it's a work in progress, right? And I learned that, you know, I can actually love someone without penetration, you know? And I remember one day I was speaking with a sponsee on the phone, and at the end of the conversation, he says, you know, I love you, Jerry. And I just thought, well, this is bizarre. This is odd. But for me, I only knew one type of love, and that was in love, right? And luckily I was, you know, I was at the right place at the right time, and I was able to speak with someone about it and to realize that there are different types of love. And again, that's what this program has taught me, that there are different types of love. And I can love someone for who they are and what they are, and for what they give me, but it's not in love. And who knew, right? All I, you know, and it's just by sticking around that, you know, I learned that. And by sponsoring people and being able to give what I got. And, you know, and I'm really grateful to this sponsee for that. And we see each other every once in a while because, you know, he relapsed. And you know, we have, there's really very few conditions. Well, there's only one condition. There's one thing you may not do when you are a sponsee of mine. And that, you know, recovery is not sexually transmitted. So you do not fuck a newcomer. Because if you do, you are forewarned. You know, we need to tell the newcomer that the NA is safe and that, you know, NA is a good place. But, you know, if you're fucking around with someone's recovery, you're telling them that you're really good, you're worthy, but you're only worthy in bed. And, you know, we're used to that because, you know, I slept around a lot and I thought that's what I had to offer before I came to the rooms. And so that's one condition. And so, you know, this sponsee and I were having conversations about his attraction to another member. And, you know, I kept reminding him, you know what the condition is, you know what the condition is, so you determine what you want to do. And so one day, you know, he calls me and says, we're going to do it. And I say, well, you know what? I wish you luck. I hope it works. And that I hope you're able to find a sponsor because, you know, this is the end. This is it. This is the condition. And he was shocked and surprised that I put an end to the relationship. And you know what I learned is I set a boundary, and I actually respected a boundary that I set. And, you know, I kind of surprised myself because, again, there's that codependent in me that really wants to, you know, wants to be liked and wants to, you know, wants to, you know, say, I've got all these people, right? And, but, you know, and I'm happy that I did that today. You know, and unfortunately, he's had a rocky road since. And, but, you know, every time we see each other, I'm really happy that he's in the rooms at that moment. And it's a constant reminder for me that boundary setting is healthy. Because I don't need to go, I need to be respected for who I am and what I am and my beliefs. And just like, you know, my sponsor and I, we respect each other. You know, we have different beliefs, and that's okay, because we have this common ground of, you know, Narcotics Anonymous and wanting to be the best that we can in, you know, as in all situations. And we recognize that we fail sometimes. But it doesn't mean that we're lesser than. We're still amazing people. And so, you know, I just want to end with the fact that, you know, sponsorship, you know, has allowed me to better understand the program, how to really apply it to my life. And the more I give, the more I get. And I always seem to attract the sponsees that I need in my life at that moment. And I've had to say no to people because I don't have it in me. And, or, you know, the values are not the same. And I don't know that I would be able to do that. Or again, you know, he's really attractive. So, you know, if I'm honest, I've got to say no, because there's another motive. And you know what? Then obviously they're better served by somebody else. And I'm just not the right person. And so, you know, I need to really check what I'm doing, when I'm doing it, why I'm doing it. And I need to check in with my sponsor, because recovery is why I'm here today. I have, you know, I have no doubt that I'd be dead today if it weren't for Narcotics Anonymous. And I've learned how to live because of, you know, all of you, and in particular because of the sponsorship relationship that I have today, for which I'm very grateful. Thank you.
It says we're here till 10:30. What are we going to do now? Okay, gotcha. Thanks everybody that that participated. Thanks for stepping up and making a meeting. And to the two gentlemen that that shared, Danny and Jerry, thank you very much. If everybody would like to get together in a circle, we'll close this up with the wee version of the Serenity Prayer.
Both of you guys.
Everybody looked a little panic-stricken when they came up. They came up and I said, well, we're supposed to be here at 10:30. What are we going to do now? They need to tell you the thing. Yes.
Okay, great. And then we'll start working on